when your wife said we had this way. It's good to be with you this morning, house of the Lord. Nothing like your own home family, man, or home church. And those of my precious faith. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We want to begin reading in St. John chapter 17. St. John chapter 17, we'll begin reading verse 1. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may become one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And then I want to read from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of those things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by being yet dead speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength and conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which are by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunities to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's just bow our heads and our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service this morning, we just ask God that you would take this into your hands, Lord. We have gathered here today, Lord, in your name. Lord, we're here to give honor to you, to worship you, and Lord, to give you opportunity to speak your words into our hearts. And so as we saw, Lord, we're asking God that you would have your way, that you would speak, Lord, and it would go right into the most inner part of our being, Lord, that it would change us from within. Because we realize, Lord, that true change comes from within. It's not from on the outside. We pray, God, that you would do an eternal work this morning in your little group of people here this morning. They're your sheep, and you are the great shepherd. And, Lord, we're happy to appear here today before you as your subjects. We just yield ourselves to you this morning, that you could just have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Seated. We're titled this morning, Pilgrims and Strangers. Amen. How many knows that he is the God of all things? Amen. He controls it all. So I was talking to a member of my family here recently, and they were going through a court case. He was telling me that they were asking him, they said, what religion are you? And of course he said, well, Christian. And so they said, well, they said, do you pray to God? And this was questioning they were doing to him. They said, do you pray to God? And he said, well, you know, of course I do, or whatever. And they said, well, what do you say to him? And, you know, at this point he said, you know what? It's none of your business what I say. You know, when I pray to God. But they asked him, they said, well, does God talk back to you? And so he obviously knew where they were going. And the whole thing was just to try and declare him mentally unstable, because, you know, that's what they were trying to do, is trap him so that he could say, yeah, God talks back to me. And so you realize that to this world, we are absolutely out of our mind. For believers, that is our life. That we talk to God, we look to him, we're looking for him to speak to us on a daily fashion, and for us to, our lives to be molded and made, and so it should be, as a believer, God should have more to say into your life than anyone else or anything else. And so, but to the world, when they look at you and they see a people that say, yeah, God talks to me. How many does God talk to? See? So he talks to us in many ways.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be an audible voice, and yet I have on many occasions heard a voice. But most of the time he speaks to us out of his word, out of a sermon that you hear, out of something a brother or a sister will say or do. Yeah. He speaks through all kinds of ways, because he's God of all things, and I've seen him speak through a child.
Yeah.
I've seen him speak through a drunk man. Believe it or not.
Right.
You know, I'm glad you weren't silent on that one. Because he can. He does those things. And so, but to the world, we've lost our mind when we say that we talk to God and then God talks back to us. And so, and of course, you know, the whole Christian walk is a walk of faith. And so they think we're out of our mind. But listen, for a believer, we realize that's when we finally came to our right mind. We finally came to our right thinking. When God began to speak to us, we begin to hear, we begin to realize that He is our Father. That's when we came to our right mind. And because the only real mind, as we've said so many times in the past, the only real proper mind, the only real proper thinking is the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so, man, let me remind you that through the ages, how we talked about how that, you know, Satan, he began himself with a head of gold with Nebuchadnezzar and went down to feet. But God started out at the feet and moves up to the head. He started out with the apostles taking the gospel out and coming up through the ages and all the way up to the Pentecostal age and then past Pentecost to the seer, a prophet. But Brother Brim said after that is the intellect of God. And that's where we are now. We're past Pentecost, past this prophet. We're in the age where the mind of God has settled down, come down into the mind, into the people, so that they begin to think like God. Right. So, but to the world, you are insane. And, you know, it's like I think I've illustrated before. I don't know if I have, but if you were born, I say, on a train that was constantly accelerating, there'd be a constant pull leading you like this. You'd have to, and so you would grow up and develop like that because that constant acceleration having to compensate to that. And everybody else could look at you and think, you're crazy. Why are you like that? You know? But you would look at everybody else and say, why are you like the way you are? See? And so it's just, we are, as Brother Brim said, we are threaded to a different thread than the world. We're a nut, right? We're threaded to a certain, you know, those of you who try to put anything together, I do it in my job for years. We deal with all kinds of screw sizes and bolt sizes and thread pitches, and you can have the same bolt size, quarter inch bolt, and can it have 20 threads per inch, or it can have 28 threads per inch. They won't cross. They won't work, see? So we are threaded to a different thread, and so something works for us that doesn't work for them, and the things that work for them doesn't work for us. Right. And so they think we're out of our mind, but we've really, really only truly come to our right mind now, just like the parable, the story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. We've talked about it before, how that he decided he wanted his inheritance and asked his father for it, went out and spent his inheritance on riotous living, the scripture said. He was out there living ungodly and taking his inheritance and blew it. But the scripture said that there was a famine in the land. Now he knows God knows how to get your attention. There was a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Joined himself to a citizen of that country, was feeding swine. I mean, knows that to those people over there, to the Israelis, that's an abomination. They don't like pig, right? And so you can see the low estate that this prodigal son came into. But the scripture said that he began to go and be in want, and he thought back about his father's house, and he said, you know, in my father's house, even the servants get better treatment than what I'm dealing with. He began to repent, but the point I'm getting at is the scripture said that he came to himself. He came to the right kind of thinking, because it wasn't his place to be off out there and living in the way he was. His place was back in his father's house. His place was to carry on the heritage that was passed down through his father, to take that land and that inheritance and live a godly lifestyle. That was his real thinking, his real mind, his real position. And yet he got off out into some kind of thinking and some kind of lifestyle that wasn't really him. And so the scripture said that he came to himself. And of course, we know the rest of the story, how he returned. And so, you know, we can get off into the wrong kind of thinking, but God has a way for us to come to ourselves, for him to speak to us so that we can return back to those things that really belongs to us and who we really are. Yeah. And so we need to always remember, as this world has such pressures and such vices, and if you haven't noticed, the systems of the world are designed to make the rich richer and the poor poorer or whatever. You understand? It's all designed, when they have the system made the way it is, it's to make sure that they're secure, but it does it off of your sweat. Right. And that's just how it is. That's the world we're in. And they have, so the whole system is rigged to put you in a place where Satan wants you or where they want you. Because it is Satan working through them.
Right.
They want to put you in a certain place. And so you just only have a certain amount of strength, and there's only a certain amount of what you can do. And so they only give to you the portion that will always benefit them. This is the way Satan works, see? And so these people out here in the world that's rulers of nations, they can only act that way because that's where their inspiration goes from.
Yeah.
There's only two powers. It's either God or Satan. And if God's not in control of their life, then Satan is.
Yeah. Right.
And so you realize that's the way that things are. But while this world is the way it is, and it wants to put you in a box over here where you're serving the world and the agenda of the world, you need to always remember that you are not from this world.
Right.
We just read that Jesus spoke that at least twice and said that, you know, the believers, that they are not of this world. And because they're not of this world, the world hates them. That's what he said. The world hated him because he's not of the world. He said, you're not of the world, and so they hate you. And he said, if they treat me the way they did, what are they going to do to you? Right? As I say so many times, as quoting scripture, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
You can live and call yourself a Christian, but if you're living godly, there's persecution
that's
coming your way. So it's natural for us to try and get away from things that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when they want to persecute you for having a Christian stance, well, it's only natural that we would try to minimize that. We don't want that. But you realize that the scripture says we are not from this world, and because of that, this world doesn't like us.
Right.
And the only way you can make them like you is when you begin to compromise with who you are and what you're here for, and then they'll start liking you.
Yeah.
So then you become friends of the world instead of friends of God. And the scripture says you cannot be friend of the world if you're a friend of God.
Right.
Right? They're two totally separate lives, two totally separate kingdoms.
Right.
And so Satan wants to blend all that together and make a hybrid something. And you know, we understand that. And so we need to remember that we are not from this world. We are from another land. And that makes us strangers and pilgrims here. If we're from another land, see, we walk this life and it's like, yeah, this is where we are. But what the scripture is telling us, that there's more of you that come from another land than what is from here.
Right.
You understand? And so we need to remember that we are from somewhere else. And if that's the case, then there's something about this place that doesn't set right with me or doesn't set right with you as a believer. And we have to identify with the things. We talk about identifying with God, identifying with his ways and all that sort of thing. And at the same time, we need to realize the opposite of identifying, whatever that would be, is that this world is not our home.
Right.
We need to be careful how much we work to be comfortable in this world.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we're not careful, there's a reason why these things are the way they are. There's a reason why the pressures and heartaches and all those things come, because God is using those to work out character. And if we spend all our time to minimize so that this world is comfortable to us, then we're compromising in the very process of God.
Right.
And so I'm not telling you to go out and cause trouble, but I'm just saying we need to realize that we are not from this world. We are from a different place.
Right.
And therefore, this world and the ways of this world is contrary to the kingdom that we're from.
Yeah.
We need to remember that. And so, because we are strangers and pilgrims in this world, then the ways of this world are no longer natural to us. There was a time when we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, before God got a hold of us, and we can embrace and run with the excesses of the world just like they do. But once you become a citizen of this other world I'm talking about, once you realize you're from there, then these things in this world no longer speak to you. They no longer captivate you. Like we sing that song, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that's exactly what should be happening. See, we're not sitting still, saints. We're moving. We can't stay where we are. We can't stay here today, physically in time. And you can't stay where you are in your walk with God today.
Right.
You are on the move. Mm-hmm. And you will not always be in this flesh and in this life. We will not always be with the level of freedoms that we have right now or the levels of liberty we have right now. Everything is changing.
Right. Yeah.
And we have to realize that. We have to remember that. That things are changing. And we want to always remember that. So that means that the ways of this world are not natural to us any longer.
Right.
When things are natural to you, just naturally, you know, you just do it. It's like we say second nature or whatever, first nature, whatever. You just do it. But when you realize you're from a different realm, then you realize, you know what, there's something about this world I'm not comfortable with anymore. There's a first thing that you notice when you give your heart to the Lord.
Right.
Automatically, there's a difference there. Because when you have a new birth, then there's something new that's born in you.
Right.
And it's different than what it was, or it wouldn't be a new birth. So when it's new, it's got a different taste, a different desire, it's a different longing, come from a different parent or so forth. And so this world is no longer what would satisfy us, and we become uncomfortable with this world, uncomfortable with the cosmos of this world. And the scripture talks to us, it names all kinds of things that it talks about the cares of this world and the children of this world. The prince of this world, Satan, talks about the princes of this world, the rulers of darkness of this world, the kingdoms of this world. The Bible speaks a whole lot about the things about this world, right, of which we were in. But we read where Jesus said that God had given his people, had taken them out of the world, says they're not even part of it, and God had given those to him, and his desire was to keep them. And so all of these things, when it talks about all this world, it's all the cosmos, it's a system of thinking, it's a system of operating, a whole system, and Brother Bam is the one that talks about this, that not the earth will pass away, but the cosmos. The way of man, the ruling of man, the sin and all that stuff, the framework and the planet we live on is not going to disappear, but it's going to be changed.
Right.
Like you're changed when you get the Holy Ghost. Something changes you.
Right.
So the earth becomes changed whenever all this unfolds. And so the cosmos of man, the way they manipulate, the way they control, the benefits that they give you, all the things we ran in before we got an experience with God, all that passes away.
Right?
Right? It shall pass away, and it is passing away. And that's the cosmos of man, the system of thinking and ruling, which is all there to benefit Satan for his plan that he wanted to be worshipped like God and take God's place. So that's the cosmos of man. And I think we've seen enough in the last few, two, 3 years, especially, that how many could say that you want the rulers of this world to hold your future in their hands? I don't see anybody raising their hand. I don't want to commit my future and my safety and my security and the safety and security of my family and my church family I do not want that in their hands.
Right.
Of course, it is in their mindset and in their cosmos thinking that they are in control of you. But I don't want them to be in control, because we've seen enough here just in the last little while that they're out of control. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They've lost their minds.
Right.
Can't even rule properly. All these different agendas that they're pushing, and pushing right into the workplace, right into everywhere. Because, you know, the scriptures talk about Satan casting out a flood. And I've said this, it's been a while, but years ago I've mentioned it several times. When a flood comes out, if your house gets flooded, that water gets into everything. It gets behind the walls, in where the insulation is. It gets in everything. And so when Satan wants to cast out a flood, and we realize that water in the Bible is people. So Satan wants to influence a people, have a people living his cosmos, and he sends them out as a flood to come and absolutely get in the midst of everything about your life. What you work, the way you worship, the way you raise your kids. They want to get into everything, and it's all inspiration of the devil, so it's a flood. A flood of his to take away the ungodly and so forth, to wash them away. Well, as we know that the scripture says that when the flood comes, if you're built on the rock, the word of God, then that flood can't wash you away. It won't. You'll be able to stand. And so we take joy in knowing that. But I don't want my future and safety and security of me and those I love into the systems of man. And so, but if we don't want it in their hands, then where do we want it? Who's got our future in their hands? Who's got control of what's going to happen to us and our safety and security? Who's got control of that? Now, like I said, the world thinks they do, and that's their agenda, but we don't want them to, and the only answer for us as believers is that we want God in control, and he is in control of our future. And so I'm talking about the reality of coming to our right thinking and staying in our right thinking, where we daily remember that our future and our safety and our security and everything about us belongs to God. And to not let the world and this flood that the world is coming out and all those things, not let that way be what controls us and what makes us make decisions day in and day out. That we stay with the mindset to realize that God is the one that we walk before, and so we rise and we fall to him.
Amen.
And him alone. As the scripture says, who are we to judge another man's servant? If we belong to him, then the world cannot override that, even though they have their agenda and they think they are. But we want to remember that. So, as I said while ago, we can't stay here. We're all moving. We're all headed to that future. And we won't always be where we are right now. And we have to come to that kind of understanding, that kind of thinking, to realize that 7 days from now, unless if I'm still here on this earth, I'm going to be somewhere 7 days from now. And I'm going to be in some condition 7 days from now. And in that condition, I could be happy, I could be joyful, or I could be in pain and I could be in sorrow. But there's one thing for sure, I'm headed to that future. And so are you. And it was so foolish of people, and this is what people do, so foolish of people to live their life daily and not look to the end of the road. And see where they're going, and to realize that what we do now has a lot to do with how you're going to be there. Because I can go out and I can do something stupid and pull out in front of a semi, and if I survive, I'm pretty sure next Sunday, 7 days from now, I would not be very happy. I'd be in pain by a decision I made. And that's the way it is spiritually, see? Even if you're a child of God, even if you truly belong to God, there are consequences to what we do in life.
Right.
And the decisions that we make and what we do today will affect our future, and we're all headed to that future. And since we're all headed to that future, then that means that what we're doing right now is affecting that future,
right.
The outcome of it.
Right.
And so we want to remember that. We're not fixated on death. We're not, death, but it's what it brings. The finality of eternity to the believer that death brings to us. It's just a graduation.
Right.
It's just a glorious time when no more pain, no more sorrow. But if you're not a believer, see, it doesn't bring you into eternal life. It brings you into condemnation. But nevertheless, all of us in this room right now, we're all headed to one or two of those. One of those two.
Yeah.
Right? Every one of us. And we need to start thinking about that a little bit more, I think. Especially those who's not, remember these things. To make sure that future and its security that you believe and know and your mindset is that it belongs to God. And I'm going to walk this life here knowing that that's where it belongs to. You might get, we have all kinds of desires and things that comes through life. As I've said so many times, if you're like me, I'm not real big on, I'm not one of these persons that feel like I just got to have all, just go out and always buy a new gun all the time. Okay? I have guns, but I just don't thrive off that. But let's say if I was, then they come out with a new model of gun, and next thing you know, I just got to have that. And almost can't rest until you get that new gun you want. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That new gun or that new vehicle, that new car, that new boat. Brother Matt, he got him a new boat the other day, and I'm glad he's got it. He enjoys it. It's good. I'd like to have one too, but I wouldn't use it very much. See? So, but you can have a desire for something, and once you get that, you just can't rest almost until you get that. And so, and our whole life goes. I see for me, you go from one thing to the next to the next. We have these desires. And sometimes we just need to step back and look at those things that happens in our lives and those desires and ask ourselves, does this fit with God's plan? Is this an interruption to what God wants to do in my life? Is this hindering me as serving the Lord and being a good steward, a good attribute of Him in this earth? And so we want to remember those things. And so you might get the new car. You might get the new job. A lot of times people want a new job because they just want to go up the corporate ladder. And as I've said, I don't want to go any higher than ICOM because I have to compromise. And I'm not going to do that. So, but you can get those things and you can just have a lifelong desire. Oh, I must get that yacht so that when I retire that I can go out and I can sail the seas or whatever. And so a lot of people have lifelong dreams that they had for those things, and they're looking for retirement. But you don't even know if you're going to get to retirement. There was a guy that worked there at the company I work with. He was in a different department. This is already over and done with, but the time I found out about it, he was fixing to retire, made preparation, got him a swimming pool, did all this stuff. He was talking about it, and he was going to have an excellent retirement. And he said, I got this little bitty something that's really not a major thing, medical thing. It's really not a big deal. Before I retire, I want to go ahead and capitalize on having insurance. I want to go have this little something, whatever it was. It wasn't life-threatening at all. So he went in and had this little procedure done, and he never recovered. And just a little while, he was dead. He never got to use all that he put forth in this life for retirement. He never got to enjoy that swimming pool and all the things that he had done, all the talking and the looking forward to his future, that, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He never got to do it. See, So you can have these things. You can desire a new car, a new job, and to be married, whatever it is. Have lifelong things, become famous, whatever it is. But even if you do get those things, what about after that? Like this guy, he never even got there. He never got to that retirement he looked for. But even if you did, what about after that? Because you're headed to the after that. I said next week, you're headed to beyond next week. Right? And so, like Brother Bram talked about, the little boys that were riding, they were going to win that swing bicycle. They were riding, had this plank they had to ride. And all of those boys kept falling off the plank. They'd try to ride their bicycle, they'd fall off. There was one little fella, he got on there with his little bicycle, and he rode all the way to the end, right off the end, and never made a mistake. And they came to them, and they said, "How did you do it?" And he said, "Well," he said, "all you fellas, you were looking right here in front of you." He said, "I didn't do that." He said, "I looked at the end. I watched the end while I was riding. Kept my eyes on the end." And that's how he won it.
Right.
Brother, sister, that's what we've got to do. I know we have to have cars. I know we have to have jobs. I know we have to. And God doesn't mind if we have a boat or a new rifle or something like that. Unless it can be wrong. But he doesn't mind those things, right? But we got to make sure our focus is not here, but that our focus is out there at the end. Because every one of us is headed to that end.
Right.
No question about it. And so, you might get all those things, but what about after that? Man cannot escape his moral responsibility to Almighty God. They act like they're, I can just live any old way, whatever, but you're responsible. Right? Every person is responsible before God of how they live, what they do. When I say moral responsibility, meaning that God will hold you accountable for how you live.
Right.
Because we rise and fall to Him. He's the one that brought us here. And so, man, they just act like, there is no God, so I can live however I want. But that's not so. I always thought, Brother B.J. Ryan, precious brother, used to be here when it was a Pentecostal church, and he talked about a guy, great big guy, "I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of hell." And somebody one day took a cigarette lighter and lit it and stuck it over to his arm, and he jerks away and said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "I thought you wasn't afraid of hell." It don't make no difference how big you are. People want to be tough. Act tough. Watch me. Watch this. And die in the process. See, none of us can escape it. We're headed to that future.
Right.
And how foolish that people are that they fixate on this now and this and ignore where they're headed.
Yeah.
And they ignore that the what you do now has to do with what your future is. And I realize as a predestinated child of God, He's got you, right? But you still live in a way that it will affect your life between here and there. Your future. And so, man has a moral responsibility before God, and he cannot escape it. And so, as I said a little while ago, we're not of this world as believers now. I'm shifting back to us as believers. We are not of this world. And so, because of that, we're not at home here anymore. And you say, "I want to know, do I have the Holy Ghost?" People say, "I don't know if I got it or not." Look at your desires. Do you still have the desires of the things of the world? Are you still comfortable in the way things are going out here? And if you are, then you need to start talking to God. Because if you are a believer, you don't belong here. This is not your appetite. And so we need to remember that. I had a cousin years ago, because I was asking Mary this morning to, I remembered this, and I wanted to get her to confirm to me and so forth. But I had a cousin, it was My grandmother was a Pixley. Her last name was Pixley. Married my grandpa, Norman Roberts. But grandma's brother, Truman Pixley, had a little boy years and years ago, Daniel Pixley. And one day, little Daniel, I don't know how old he was, we don't remember, he was just little, he could talk. But Daniel gets up one day and he's all through the day, he keeps crying, he keeps saying, "I want to go home. I want to go home." And the grown-ups were saying, "You are home. This is your home. But I want to go home." And they, I don't know, they weren't loggers. They had a dairy farm, but had some logs. I guess maybe we're going to take them to a sawmill. And the kids got around playing around over there and dislodged those things. A log rolled over and killed him. But just prior to, they said, "I want to go home." "And you are home." But see, he was fixing to go home. See, this is not our home. June 5th, 2020, today, is not our home. We're just passing through.
Amen.
This next week, we're just passing through. But we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And I ask you, where are you going? What are you doing? Are you doing something now to help prepare that you go where you want to go, where you want to experience, and you want to be? My father-in-law used to say years ago, he said, people, for some reason, would rather have a pleasure right now, knowing that the thing they're doing now that gives them pleasure is going to give them sorrow and heartache later. But they want it, and they're willing to do it now. And I often think it's about someone smoking and smoking cigarettes, and they want that nicotine now. And they're willing to do that, knowing, I guess maybe it's like Russian roulette. Maybe perhaps I won't get lung cancer. Maybe perhaps I won't get emphysema.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go for the pleasures now, but it comes, the consequences. So the way we live today, and there's consequences to that. You can be sowing good seed and get good results, or you can be sowing bad seed and get bad results. But it's coming. The scriptures talk about the way of man, that we all go by the way. Why? Because we all go to the grave if the rapture doesn't come get us first. We all head that way, and there's no escaping it. And so we need to realize that we are not from here. We're just passing through. Little Daniel Pixley was just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
But he went to his final destination place. He's there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to a final destination. Every one of us. And no amount of indulging in this world's pleasures will take away the fact that we're all going there. Amen. We're all going to that destination place for us. And so we're just passing through. We can't stay here. And all the earthly goods that we get, I watch people and you see people, and they absolutely, the meaning of life to them is to get more stuff.
Right.
You know, there's a disease, I call it a disease, it's the devil that makes people hoard. I know at least one person who's a hoarder myself. And they have more than one house. And one of the houses is much, much bigger than my house. And I suppose that there might be a place that you could walk through. It's stacked. You've seen it. You've seen those kinds of conditions. Because Satan wants us to live for now. And stuff now, and things now, and all the pleasures of now, and the securities. I'll build up this, and I'll have all of this, and it rots. Because Jesus talked about it. That, you know, moths will eat, and rust will corrupt, and thieves will break through and steal. all this temporary stuff, and people are so fixed on that and ignore the thing that's going to be final. And so they get all these goods, and I have a neighbor, and he just keeps bringing stuff in. And I really just want to walk over and say, you're just leaving your kids a lot of stuff that they're going to have to deal with. I mean, well, you know, what is this? And if we're not careful, we do the same thing. When you live in a land where there's plenty, lots of money and all that, and people can do that sort of thing. But you know, people who went through the Depression, they're very frugal. Because they know it could happen again. Amen. They know that. We can't even stay where we are now. We can't even stay in our current conditions. These young men right here, this one right here that's been powerlifted and so forth, and you know, but he can't stay there. He might even from this day strong get stronger, more proud. He might go and have competitions and win. That's fine. But he won't stay there. He won't always be that way. Because he's just passing through. Just like the rest of us. We're just passing through. And so as I'm saying all these things, that there is a right mind for the believer. And we realize, believers, you've got something in you that will connect you to that. But we live in a world that wants to subdue that and get you on all these things of worldly stuff, and even maybe the things that aren't sinful, but it becomes sinful because it takes away through your dedication and the love that we should have for the Word and for God and for His people when we start doing other things. And so there is a right mind for the believer, and as I said, you know, do I have the Holy Ghost? Well, do you have the desires? But here's another way to say it. Are you comfortable here? Because a believer becomes homesick. You begin to long for home. As much as I like and love to go into Mexico and have meetings and meet with those people and experience the love that they have down there. But there's nothing like home. Right. I want to come home after a few days. We could travel around here in the country, but after a while, as much as we enjoy Montana, we wanted to come home. Because there's no why? Because home speaks to you. There's a peace that home provides you don't get anywhere else. It's home. And brother, sister, if we're not from this world, if we really came from another dimension, that's home. And there's something in us that should be longing for that, looking for that. And if we're not longing and looking for that, we've been subdued here into acting like and living like this is our home. And it's not. We're just passing through. Yeah. Abraham was looking for it. For that land. That place. Here it is. Abraham walked on this earth. He walked with God. God spoke to him. God conquered kings on his behalf. I mean, you'd say, man, what a life walking through this earth and God. But yet, with all that, Abraham was looking for a city whose foundation was made by God. Because this was not his home. So he looked for it, and Jesus said that he's going to prepare it for us. Right? So I go to prepare a place for you. Have you ever wondered how Jesus was going to go and prepare that place? Have you ever wondered what that place is? Have you ever considered the fact we talk about how that as we feed on the Word, that Word is forming within us the very, very body that we're going to live in. Yeah. That Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he left this earth and he went and he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. And now in the form of the Holy Ghost, he gets in you and causes you to feed on the very Word you're going to live in. Mm-hmm. So he's building a place for you. as you feed on the word. Amen. And so, that is why as time goes on, we should become more and more uncomfortable here. Not just because of all these new identities and stuff, but because we're believers, we should be becoming more and more uncomfortable with this world as this world becomes more and more brass with their agendas. Because we don't belong here. This is not our home. I'm going to read some quotes here. We're getting close to the end here this morning of the service. But I'm going to read some quotes where Brother Brown talked about these things a little bit. In a sermon called "A Deceived Church by the World," Brother Graham says, a little something you might look at in the scriptures. Those who sought this new city acted different. They professed that they were pilgrims and strangers, but on the side of Cain, they became fugitives and renegades. But Christians were pilgrims and strangers. A fugitive has no home, and a renegade is a horrible person, but a pilgrim is something real. Now, this is your prophet. Behold, I send to you, Elijah. So this is your prophet saying this to you. A pilgrim is something real. And from a real land in another nation, trying to find his way home. Professing by his living that he has something, that he's from another country. There's the reason. So the believer is making the same profession we read where Abraham and those there in Hebrews, that they are professing that they are pilgrims and strangers because they're looking for another place and they realize this is not my home. And by their living, by the way they live every day, they are professing that I don't belong here. So how are we living? Are we living in such a way that we're making it clear that this is not our home and I'm not staying here? I'm going elsewhere. I'm going to the place that God has prepared for me. Brother Bram is talking about people who, these Christian people so-called in America and the way they dress. And he said, but yet those people who do so, those people who wear those things, let me tell you, in South Africa, when I saw 30,000 raw heathens, naked, blanket, native, 16, 18, 20-year-old girls and boys, and not one stitch of clothes, I was standing there with mud in their face and painted up, bones through their nose, and blocks of wood hanging from their ears, and crossed human bones, and some bones in their hair, and animal and teeth hanging all over them, naked as they come into the world, and didn't know it. But when they received Christ and fell on their faces and received the Holy Ghost, they got up with folded arms to hold their shame to their bosom, and they walked away and found clothes to put on. Why? Here's why. They became pilgrims and strangers of this world. Brother Bram says, hallelujah. He said, they were away from him. Away from who? They were away from Christ. And as soon as they got back to him, they realized the way we've lived in this world is not right. Amen? That's a symbol of just your apparel. But it goes much, much more than that, much deeper than that. In Balm and Gilead, Brother Brand says, please, will you excuse this rude, most rude expression? I don't say this to be bad. I don't say this with malice. I say it with love. Last Saturday, wife and I were going to the grocery. In our little city of about 37,000 in population, they have a new shopping center, which all the people goes down to the Youngstown Shopping Center on Saturday because many of the great chain stores are there. And as we drove, of the hundreds of women we passed, we found one with a skirt on. The rest of them were dressed so immorally. My wife said to me, she said, "Billy, look, don't you believe that that woman knows she's naked?" And I said, "I don't think so." She said, "If she doesn't know she's naked, then she's out of her mind." And I said, "No, she's just an American. She follows the American trend. She acts like the rest of Americans do." She said, "Well," I said, "well, aren't we Americans?" I said, "As citizenship of our flesh, we are, but we are pilgrims and strangers here." So he's saying, "No, they're just acting like they're just acting and dressing the way they do here because this is their home. This is where they're from." Amen. But we are pilgrims and strangers. And we are seeking a city to come. And I said, that's the reason that one American is different from another. But our spirit has been born from above. Amen? We've been born from above. And in that land where we come from, the nature and habits of that land is holiness, cleanliness, and godliness. And if that spirit of that land moves into us, then this land out here becomes strange to us. Because your soul and your spirit motivates you, and it makes you what you are, and you'll never be able to join churches and get that out of you. So as a believer, if you're a true believer, joining a church don't get it. Because if all you are is a church joiner, as he goes on to say, you'll still be a church member and make fun of the people who preach against such immorals. That's all you are. You go to church, but you'll make fun of the preacher who preaches against the way that these Americans dress. He says, you've got to be born again from above. And then you are new creatures in Jesus Christ, and you're as Abraham was, you're his children. You are seeking a city and whose builder and maker is God, and that's why you act different, and that's why you see things different. You never get customized to this world because you are from above. You're acting like the kingdom that you belong to. That's why the believer has a different outlook on things. When everybody else says, "What's wrong with that?" And you see all kinds of things wrong with it because it's contrary to the kingdom of heaven where you come from. So back to what I said, we must remember as believers, this is not where we're from. More of us is from there than what we have. All that's from here is just the dust of the earth, is this flesh, right? But we are from another realm. In Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram says, I said, citizens of the kingdom of heaven is born from the spirit that's up there, not from down here. Whether it's Jewish or French or American or whatever it is, they're not of this world. They're natives of that kingdom. For we who profess to be Christians, we clearly declare that we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for a kingdom that is to come. Remember Jesus said in the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're looking for that kingdom that is to come. And we profess to be pilgrims and strangers in this world, wondering about, watching for that kingdom to come in the earth as it is in heaven. Watching for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Abraham separated himself from all things of the world and walked in a strange country, professing that he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He didn't belong to this place. He was looking for that city, and he wandered about through the deserts and things, watching for the city, and every seed of Abraham is doing the same thing, laying aside every weight and professing that we are pilgrims. We are not church members. We're pilgrims. We don't act like the world. We're pilgrims and strangers. We act odd to the things of the world. We're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. That's the believer. And so you realize, see, God doesn't want us comfortable in this world. If you look through the history, every time they got comfortable, they let down.
Right.
And something had to come in. And they get comfortable, you know. It's the cycles. In America, look at the cycle. America is so blessed, but now look at it. And so God doesn't want us to be too comfortable in this world. It's like we've talked about that eagle, mama eagle, taking all that stuffing out of the nest. Because mama eagle knows it's time. Knows that it's time for the baby to fly. Has to put some incentive in there so that the baby begins to say, you know what? It ain't comfortable here no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not comfortable in this world anymore.
Man.
They're trying to push the LGBTQ plus on managers and making you go and attend to things. You know, acting like that companies have kept jobs from people that were weird. All that equal opportunity stuff was put in place long ago. Right? Professional businesses, and they hire the people and they do the affirmative actions and all that stuff, that's been fine. But now all of a sudden they act like that's not been in place, and nobody, and all these people with all these odd, you know, that want to be different, that they've been mistreated. And so now it's not like, you know, just hire them. No, you go to their events and you listen to them speak, and you as a manager, you got to do this. The flood. Right into every portion of your home.
Right.
See? But just remember that floods do not carry away Christians. Mm-hmm. They are founded on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not founded on that Word, those persuasions are very powerful.
Right.
And they'll start moving you, start desensitizing you, doing all those things. You know, a lot of companies, a lot of places, they just want to do that because they're being forced to do it by higher authorities, and we might lose our monetary gain. Right? We're in the mode. You know, we know that we've said it here recently. Just we're in the mode where, you know, the mark of the beast is you're going to tally up, or we're going to put sanctions on you. And we're in that phase right now. Where you don't do what they want you to do, they cancel you. They put sanctions on you. You lose your job. You can't get another job because they've done all these things based upon all this Sodom and Gomorrah mentality. So we're in that cycle that's going to bring that mark of the beast, bring that, and we know what it is, but I'm talking about bringing that forced thing, right? We're in that cycle, and that's what they're trying to do. And if we go, oh, I got to compromise because I don't want to lose my standing in this world. Brother, sister, Christians have always been willing to give up their standard in this world to live for God.
Okay.
And we're in that cycle where we could be doing it too. I could be called in tomorrow just for what I've said today and have to make a decision. Do we want to have to do that? No. But believers are from a different land. And we don't embrace these things because we know it's death. So God doesn't want us to be comfortable in this world. And he lets all that stuffing be taken out so we can begin to experience all the things and realize that the best place for the believer is soaring with the wings of faith. And brother, sister, Brother Ram tells us, we talk about it all the time, there's a deep calling to the deep. That I like, you know, I like peanut butter, but you realize I could have no craving and no liking for peanut butter if it didn't exist. And the fact that we've grown, we long for a place where there's peace. We long for a place where there's not death and sorrow and people getting in them, causing you troubles and all those things. We long for that. We couldn't long for that if it wasn't there. There's a land somewhere. As Brother Brandon, when he's that little bitty boy, and he writes that poem. I'm so lonesome, oh so lonesome in the far away, southwest. He goes and he ends it by talking about a lion. I could hear a lion whine. As a child, he wrote that, not even knowing that God would send him to Arizona. And years later, he kills the state record mountain lion. Because there's a land. And that inspiration struck him. God struck him with an inspiration so that later on when he come to show the connection there. And I said all that to say this, because Brother Branham, in that, he said, there's got to be a land. There's got to be a place somewhere that we're longing for. That's where the believers want to be. It's not that we just don't want to, you know, but that's what's home to us. That's what's comfortable to us. That's where, as when the scripture said, you go into a place and let your peace go in it, and if it doesn't return back, I forget how he says it, but you know, if you go to a house to stay there and they don't accept you as a believer or whatever, then you got to get away from that. But if you can, if you can go to someone's and you feel at home, then you're willing to stay there. But we're not at home here anymore, and so we're not wanting to stay here. But we do have a home that we're looking for, because we're strangers and pilgrims here. We're looking for a place that we're longing for. And brother, sister, there's got to be that place. And I just ask that you just, you know, pray, ask the Lord, and say, Lord, let me see that place. Let me feel that longing. Show me what that land is like in comparison to here. Put something in me that makes me want that more than this. So that even while I'm living here, and I might even get a new gun or whatever it is, but I never take my eyes off of that. Right. And that I never do something in this life to quieten that voice, to make it quiet and not be able to speak. Don't let me live in such a way that when I get up, I don't feel that pull of that realm speaking, calling. But always, always have that in my life and in your life. That's my prayer, and that's my instructions today to you as believers to do that. Don't let this world drown out that still small voice. Don't let this world drown out that gentleman of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's let the musicians go. As Brother Daniel prayed, we'll bow our hearts now. Brother Daniel prayed at the beginning of the service. It would be a great time for us to rededicate, reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord, to say, Lord, from this day forward, I'll serve you the best I can. And that's what a believer does every day, is to reconsecrate themselves and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I fall short. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for this little time that you've allowed us to be together with your people and to be able to speak on these things. And Lord, we realize that it is your word. It's not our responsibility to bring anything to pass, Lord, but to believe it. It's your word, and you watch over it, and you perform it. And Lord, if I have spoken truth to your people today, then Lord, if they embrace it, if they receive it, and they embrace it truly in their hearts, and they make that commitment to you, then Lord, there's response that you bring into their hearts and into their lives as a result of what their attitude is to what they heard today. And I pray, God, that no one, Lord, would be a critic of what they've heard today, Lord. But even if they don't really feel like they have a desire for these things just yet, that they would just be humble and sincere and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I don't feel this way right now, but I ask God that you would touch me. Because I too know that I'm headed to that future. I pray, God, that you just let your Holy Spirit brood over every person here today, that you would woo their hearts. And Lord, right at this moment, may they make good decisions, make a good commitment to you, Lord. And let them now enter into that personal relationship with you where they talk to you and you talk back to them. And that you are able to lead them and guide them in every form and fashion that you desire, especially from your word, especially from this wonderful message, especially from the pulpits of ministers that you called to preach this end-time gospel. We love you, Lord, and we just commit them to your hands now. Lord, as I said the other day, that it's my job to bring them to you and then to walk away and let you and them have that time alone. And that's what I want to do right now as we worship you, as we close this service. Let each one just sit and worship and enter into that communication right now. Lord, that you would do something in their heart right now that would be greater than anything they've ever experienced. So I leave them with you now. And I ask these things and commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Truth. This song we were just singing there, probably a lot of you have seen the little testimony of Brother Tim Pruitt where they sing this song. They was talking about being up in Canada and preaching for a brother. The brother took him way up in one of those great big mountains with the glaciers on it. Drove way up there, drove for a long time. You know, Brother Tim's kind of got a, I don't know, he's not really crippled, but he has a hard time getting around. And he said, even after they drove all those miles, they got out, and he said, that mountain was still way, way past on up higher. And he thought to himself, he said, in my condition, how would I ever get to the top of that mountain? And you might think that today. You might have something in front of you that you look and you see the mountain.
Yeah.
How will that ever be? Maybe a wayward loved one, a spouse, whatever. God, how could it ever be? I can't see that ever would be in yourself. But Brother Tim Pruitt, he began to tell about it a few days later when he got ready to come home. He got on an airplane. And I think God had their pilot do that just for this brother. But they flew over that mountain. And the pilot said, look outside. And he said, I looked down on that mountain that I was looking at when I was earthbound. I looked in there and I couldn't imagine getting to the top of it. He said, on the wings of an eagle.
Yeah.
So I looked down and it was just a little thing. And brother, sister, that's the way it is. Yeah. The wings of faith will take you so high that you'll look down on that thing that you thought was impassable.
Yeah.
And you'll say, how great is my God for what he's done. But you gotta keep pressing on, keep listening to that voice from that other realm that's calling you and telling you there's another land. And always remember, you're just passing through here. This is not your home. May the Lord bless you as we sing this again. Dismissed.